From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett should join us in just a few minutes, too. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll help us divine what's been happening in the cash side of the marketplace. And along the way, we'll hear about the ag news. We'll recap some information I told you about the market facilitations payments and that Gary Schnitke and company had gone through from earlier in the week. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us. Are you here in Illinois or back in Texas this week?
No, I'm back in Texas here, and I brought the rain with me. It's actually, my house is floating. I think I could make it a riverboat, a gambling riverboat down here today, probably.
Well, tell me about that. I have something to say about that, but I'll just skip it. Tell me about what you've seen in this marketplace, because we're a bit of a whipsaw, and a lot of it is on news. Monday, of course, we are higher on good expectations, and then today things turned around, actually the last couple of days, and we finally lost everything we gained on Monday and finished the soybeans lower, I think mostly because the exports didn't look as good as many were hoping.
Yeah, the sales numbers were disappointing. I mean, they were somewhat inside the range. They weren't terribly bearish, but they were considered disappointing, let's put it that way, at this point, especially when you got a clear weather forecast. I mean, the Corn Belt got kind of stuck here for a week or so with some heavy rains, not a lot of activity. I know I talked to my dad last night, and he said they were starting to move up in the Quad City area yesterday. So I assume there's a lot of soybean harvesting starting to take place, and we're starting to see some hedge pressure, I think, come into this market, and that's what helped send the soybeans lower. It was, clear weather, more harvest activity, and then disappointing export sales. I think technically, though, I mean, after Monday's big run-up, it was probably ripe for some kind of setback, period of consolidation. Now, I know today's loss feels pretty heavy, but like you said, we're just basically back to where we started from. We kind of lost Monday's advance. But when you take a look at, where we're at in the charts and whatnot, we're still in that upward channel. So I can't be too concerned, at least at this point, that we're, changing the overall trend. Now, we are down at the bottom end of that channel. We got a little room for some downside follow through here, maybe later this evening. But, we need to kind of come in here and find some support and kind of hold this sideways to higher trend that we've kind of got in place in November soybean futures.
Corn held nice and strong today, given the 22-cent drop in soybeans, just, 3.5 cents on the corn.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but a lot of the farmers that I've talked to more recently, I don't think the yields are holding up as well as people maybe thought they were going to hold up. So I don't know if that has something to do with it or not. They're not terrible, but they're coming in a little smaller than maybe what they thought they were going to be as they kind of wrap up corn harvest in Illinois. So there's maybe some room for the Illinois yield to come down a little bit. USA took it down a couple bushels here a week ago. We'll have to see what happens, I guess, as we go forward here. But corn's a little different type of animal than beans. I mean, beans, we've got such a humongous projection of a carryover. you've got everybody in the world bearish soybeans, not trying to figure out how we're going to climb our way out of this 800 or 900 or a billion bushel carryover. I'm not too sure there's a whole lot of difference between 800 and 900 or even a billion at this point. It's just, you know, too much supply. But, you know, we are going to, you know, if Brazil's going to take all of China's business, I mean, we're going to get a lot of Brazil's business. So we're not totally losing everything. It's just a matter of rearranging shipping routes and whatnot. And I thought I saw some more sales headed to China this morning, but maybe that was an old announcement I saw on the screen. But I do think there are people that are, I think China is buying beans with, even with the tariff in place, because prices are cheap enough and they need to bring inventory on into China.
Well, it's something that's interesting to watch, and we'll see how that's all recalibrated. The other thing that happened, at least this week and last couple of days, that the Trump administration decided that it will look forward, and we'll hear about this in the news, to bilateral trade agreements with the European Union, Britain, and Japan. Though with the EU kind of in the same fell swoop, things haven't moved as quickly as possible, and they brought up auto potential as a tariff coming into the United States again. So we'll have to see all of that, how all of that pans out. Policy tends to be driving the boat to some extent in parts of the marketplace. But as you said, there's what, the 885 million bushels of soybeans in the bin, expectations at least by the time we get to the end of the year, and that's just a big number to try to overcome. And the corn number, much, much smaller, and it seems like it has better options. Have you heard anything at all, and I can say that I have not, out of Iowa, the Dakotas, maybe Nebraska, because they were so rain-soaked, and I say I haven't, but maybe 5 to 10 bush, or a 5%, as much as 10% drop on soybeans. I haven't heard anything about corn. Soybeans would be more impacted by the cold weather, the snow, the rain. But could that drive down yields very much, in your opinion, given what you know historically?
Well, you lose some. Just like I noticed last couple of weeks when I was up in Illinois, that one farmer wasn't able to get all of the soybeans, and actually we had a winter crop growing soybeans. I mean, the beans had germinated, so we had a winter crop of soybeans going. Now, I don't think that amounts to very much, but I imagine we're going to be losing some. I mean, that's just the way the nature of the beast is. If you got to go out and mud them out, you're going to lose some. But I, you know, we do have harvest losses. I can't really tell you what kind of percentage that would amount to be. It probably depends upon how big an area it is. But I do know, talking to some cash buyers out in the West, I know they were having a hard time trying to stay in front of having enough inventory coming in for them to either crush, whether it be corn or soybeans, to kind of keep their plant running, because things were just moving just too slow anyway.
Yeah, temporary effect. Well, we'll find out more, and we'll talk with you more about it next week. Hey, thanks so much.
Okay, very well, Todd.
As Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us on this Thursday afternoon at the Closing Market Report. Have you purchased your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference yet? Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about it. The Farm Assets Conference is November the 20th. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois. This is one of our annual events, and we have a really good program set up for you. We'll talk about premiums and contracts with really big companies like Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's, and how they're beginning to think about reaching all the way back to the farm. We'll also have Clarkson Grain there to discuss maybe some transitions to non-GMO crops, organics if you're interested. And the folks at Syngenta will be there to discuss how you put all the data together that these companies will want from you and your farm, and it's Commodity Row Crop Farm, the everyday corn and soybean producer. And we hope that you will enjoy that program. That's how we'll kick off the Farm Assets Conference. You can learn all the details online at willag.org right now, or farmassetsconference.com. You can buy your tickets. They're just $40 on either of those sites. In today's agricultural news, the Trump administration formally launched trade talks this week with key agricultural trade partners, Japan, Britain, and the European Union. Formalizing the efforts signals the president's aggressive stance on trade ahead of the November elections. The American Farm Bureau's trade advisor, Dave Samuelson, says U.S. agriculture needs a new and expanded set of markets.
Increasing our trade with existing trading partners. You know, you see now we're selling, for a lot of market reasons, selling more soybeans to the European Union.
Japan, meantime, accounts for some 80% of new market share among nations in the TPP agreement that President Trump abandoned. And Japan is already the number one export market for U.S. beef, with some $1.9 billion in purchases last year, and the prospect of dramatically lower beef tariffs in any new deal with the United States. Here's how the National Cattlemen Beef Association's Kent Baucus sees it.
We're hopeful that because we've already had almost 5 years of negotiations with Japan under TPP, that we'll also see an accelerated process with the U.S.-Japan talks. Keep in mind, there's still all of the statutory, you know, guidelines they have to follow, the timelines as well. So this is not something that we can just snap our fingers and it'll happen overnight.
Baucus says it may take months, but that it will be worth it. Commerce Department figures show U.S. trade with the EU, for example, support 2.6 million American jobs. Now, on that trade front with the EU, Japan, and other nations, the Trump administration, which, of course, as we just told you, formally notified Congress of its intent to negotiate the trade pact, for instance, with the EU yesterday. However, preliminary discussions saw the two sides bicker over the slow pace of the talks and whether agriculture would even be part of them. Two high-ranking U.S. officials, including Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, were openly critical of Europe's approach and accused the bloc of foot-dragging. President Donald Trump's threat of tariffs on the European Union auto industry was even rekindled, a sign that the U.S.-EU trade truce Trump and EU Commissioner President Jean-Claude Juncker brokered back in July is being tested even before the talks enter a more serious phase. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., where further farm bill delays look possible. Progress on the farm bill following the November midterm elections could be stalled even further, depending on the need for disaster relief stemming from Hurricane Michael. House Agriculture Committee ranking Democrat Colin Peterson this week speculated Congress members from states impacted by the hurricanes will pressure lawmakers to either add something to the farm bill or appropriations. Peterson says those efforts could potentially give us more problems to solve than we already have. The 2014 farm bill expired at the end of September, and top ag lawmakers expected the new farm bill to be passed following the midterm elections. Those close to the negotiations continue to work on the farm bill, but the House and Senate are both on recess until after the elections, and conference committee members report little progress on all titles of the farm bill. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, you know, the ag economist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I have been pushing the pencil to project farm-level incomes for this year. What they've found is not pretty, even when the Trump administration's trade policy payments are included. When trade slows down, of course, Midwest farmers suffer the financial consequences. And that is what has happened since President Trump set the course to renegotiate trade deals across the planet. It's also why his administration is writing them checks this fall. They'll get 82.5 cents for every bushel of soybeans produced and a half cent for each bushel of corn. There may be another check written in December. In an effort to be transparent, my check, 82.5 cents for each bushel of soybeans produced from the Narrow Row farm, came in the mail yesterday. These aren't small checks, but they also won't make up for the dollars lost to the global market because of the trade war with China this year or next. if it continues, says Gary Schnittke from the University of Illinois. He and his colleagues projected incomes for an average 1,700-acre corn and soybean farm in Illinois using prices before and after the trade war began.
What we did was we said, what if they made all their sales up front? They would have had $174,000 of net income. If they made all their sales now, September, they would have minus $69,000 of income. And with our average prices, we're looking at something like $80,000.
When you add the market facilitation program payment to that net income, things look pretty good for 2018.
Absolutely. This year, we're on this 1,700-acre farm, that's going to be about a $50,000 payment. That obviously helps. And if we use our average prices, that moves our income from $80,000 to $130,000.
These are big numbers, so let's go through them again. Pre-trade war, a 1,700-acre Illinois grain farm had the net income potential of $174,000. Post-trade war, it's a $69,000 loss. Those are best and worst-case scenarios. The big problem is next year.
Looking into 2019, we put our soybean price at $8.50. We put our costs going up, and pretty much fertilizer costs going up. And we put our yields at trend yields and no market facilitation program payments, and we're looking at minus $70,000 of income next year. So that's pretty bleak. And even if we had another year of above average incomes, that minus $70,000 goes to minus $40,000. So next year we're looking at losses given where we're at price-wise and what we're seeing at cost. So the big message there is, save that income that we're looking at this year.
Save it back, because if the trade war bleeds into next year, or the export markets don't return in full, which history says will be the case, next year could be really awful for farmers. Well, we're now joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to discuss what's happening down on the farm and the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks so much. Did you finish up all your harvesting this past week?
Yes, we were able to get finished up. We had to wait around on some river bottom beans that we got planted there in the first part of July, but we were able to get those out of the field. Fortunately, the weather cooperated with us a whole lot better than it has some folks, that's for sure.
Hey, just out of curiosity, did they yield as well as you thought they might?
They actually yielded really well for when they were planted. Of course, they didn't yield with maybe some of our other beans, but they yielded really good. We were pretty happy with them.
Good, good, good. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about what's been happening. You're finished. A lot of farmers are in the field, especially in northern Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, both of the Dakotas and Minnesota, Kansas as well. They were really wet, cold, some snow on parts of those states, actually quite a bit of snow on parts of those states. Do we have to worry very much about yield dropping in those areas?
Well, there's definitely going to be some yield loss. It'll be interesting to see how much. Obviously, you typically hear about the worst of the worst. You see pictures of the same sort. But, whenever you have that much precipitation over that course of time, and then obviously, the issues they've had with snow and freezing, there's definitely going to be some yield loss. But how much remains to be seen. One of the main things we keep hearing about is damaged soybeans, some issues due to timing of getting them out of the field and all the moisture that they've had. But I've heard up to 30 to 35% damage on beans, and that's obviously not going to sit well with producers.
And as we talked with Greg Johnson of the Andersons on Monday, the elevators won't like to take it because they can't blend it off. And if it's in a large area, that's going to be really depressing, especially with the basis levels as wide as they are everywhere, and in particular out west, I would think.
Yeah, I would say so. Unfortunately, at this stage of the game, basis is unlikely to get a whole lot better, at least for the time being. As you know, there's a whole lot of grain on the ground in the areas that's been able to be harvested, in the areas that are just getting started. Those areas already know that they're going to have issues with space, even though there's going to be some production concerns here and there. But bottom line basis isn't going to be probably real pretty, at least for the time being. Once we get more than 50% done with harvest, there's probably a little opportunity. But this is going to be a big crop. It's going to take some time to put away.
We'll see how that all rolls out over the next, I think, 2 weeks or so. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Yep, thank you.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.